Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Live with the Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and right back from the Ford Center of the Star in Frisco, Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Bell. We got Pepe firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And you know this is the place to be to start off your morning for all the sports news you need. The Dallas Cowboys press conference airing live on this radio station. Let's start with your takeaways, Ralph.
Oh, that was, I can't even say that was as expected. That was a train wreck. And if their whole goal, that press conference, was to be so off the wall that it made the hiring process look smooth and efficient, it was a smashing success. Smashing success. Because that made this organization look like it's just floating and there's no direction. Because there isn't. Because you've got at least, I would say, I don't know, of the three people up there, one is a normal functioning human being. That's Brian Schottenheimer. One is a clown.
Whoa.
And that's how it is.
And which one is that?
I think we know which one that is. It's the one on the right.
Okay, so Schottenheimer himself. clearly, like, the whole pitch yesterday from the Cowboys and from Schottenheimer's culture, that's their whole focus, is just, we are going to lean into this. For Schottenheimer to use the exact phrase, the X's and O's will come, that doesn't matter, which, I mean, I don't think he's saying it doesn't matter. I get it. I'm just saying, for him to say, like, that is how secondary it is to whatever we're going to establish with the culture, that to me says his entire pitch in these meetings was, there's something broken fundamentally, and there's been something broken here the last 5 years, and I can fix it.
Yeah.
And so that's clearly what he's leaning into, is culture, culture, culture. And that's the thing that, when we talked about the hire, it's like, well, that's going to be his biggest selling point as a candidate, is he's a big-time CEO and leader, and you had a dozen players walk in and sit down and take part in the press conference, including Dak Prescott, who was not present for Mike McCarthy's press conference, by the way. He was present for this one. It's a thing, I think, where they're just really leaning into, hey, we're all one now. Brian Schottenheimer is going to make sure that we're one.
Yeah, I think we knew what we were going to get from Schottenheimer. I found him to be likable, genuine, honest. There's already more genuine here than I think we got a lot of times with Mike, where it felt like a little bit of an act. He was trying to be genuine, but he was also, you know, Pittsburgh tough. Jerry Jones clearly is aware of what has been said about their offseason. Bobby texted us starting off while they're listening, saying, uh-oh, this could go off the rails. He's very defensive. Is this an attack on the media? As Jerry was kind of hitting all the bullets. It's like Jerry was sitting in our show prep meetings. Very impressive that he's toloing as much as he obviously is.
He's heard every single last bit of it.
Yep.
Every single last bit. And that's why it was, I mean, when he starts in on a lot of his answers yesterday, I don't know, it almost felt like he was trying to convince himself at times publicly. I think there was definitely, one of the impressions I got yesterday was definitely Jerry was probably a bigger resistance to this than Steven was. I think Jerry's on board, but Jerry made sure to hit over and over and over again the topic of, this is so risky. Guys, this is risky. Holy cow, yeah. This is risky. He has no experience. It's like, are you defending this high? What are you saying right now?
I didn't know what he was doing there. It was like he was just sitting there trying to say how much of a risk taker he is, and how he's willing to go outside of his comfort zone by saying what a giant risk hiring this guy is.
Well, I think he's trying to fight back at the narrative that they're lazy, He's trying to fight back at the narrative that this is all about comfort.
Or a puppet or whatever. Like everyone keeps saying, oh, he's your puppet.
And I guess I'm maybe the only one who agrees with him. This is risky. I think it's risky and comfortable at the same time. It is a tremendous risk to throw Brian Schottenheimer, first time rookie virgin head coach, into the seat of America's team. That is a humongous risk. Everyone's laughing at it for a reason because they're like, are you crazy? Are you stupid? That's not going to work. At the same time, as David Hellman points out, how much of a risk is it to hit four on the conference phone speaker down the hall and say, come down here so we can get this thing settled?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, is it risky to take any rookie head coach? I mean, I don't think anybody would have thought it was risky to hire Ben Johnson. They'd have been like, yeah, that's the play. That's what you got to do.
They're all risks.
They're all risks. You could bring Bill Belichick in here. It's a risk.
Yep.
You know, he's ancient.
Power hungry.
He's power hungry.
Unlikable.
Absolutely. Pete Carroll, again, the old, how long is he going to want to do this for?
Yeah.
So there's risks with everybody. And it has nothing to do.
You're very angry.
That was the most disgraceful performance I've ever seen in 23 years here in town.
Why?
Did you not see it the same way?
I'm not feeling the same anger and disgust, but I want you to explain it.
Social media was ablaze yesterday, but
it always is, right? Yeah. Every time they speak, like, were we expecting something totally different from Jerry or Steve? We're used to this, aren't we?
Expecting him not to be so sensitive to everything that was said about him over the past whatever X amount of weeks. I was at the gym yesterday listening to this thing, and it was like I was literally enraged. I was looking around at other people wondering who was listening to this thing as well
and who was like doing extra sets
based on like
they turned up the treadmill,
yeah,
the elliptical went up,
no,
they were getting angry.
I don't associate with cardio people, Sean. It's on a different floor. Just based on, you know, like, yeah, what they were doing. I was literally looking around.
Yeah.
And I was getting enraged by this because that press conference was exactly why it is going like this.
I'll be the opposite one again. I like that Jerry is, now I don't want him to act on every single media opinion. I like that he's aware of it. I feel much better knowing that they're aware, at least, hopefully it's a discussion point of all the problems that the entire Metroplex has been talking about versus go up there and appear oblivious and delusional.
Yeah, and look.
So I actually like it. But I've heard some other people say, is it a good thing or a bad thing that he's aware of the narratives and what's being said?
Look, here's the reality. The Cowboys are more than just Jerry. I know Jerry's the face, but the Cowboys are more than just Jerry. The Cowboys are a machine. They are a massive machine. That's why they get to the point that they do. It's not one guy running a $10 billion franchise. It's not one guy who gets that value up to that point. So there's a whole machine in place here with a bunch of different people that, yeah, they want to be aware there of just, hey, what are people saying about this? You know what? I mean, the same group of people that are talking about, I think they were floating Brian Schottenheimer, floating this name to gauge our reaction, are now surprised that they heard it. Like, you already thought a couple weeks ago that they were listening to what you're saying. I'll say this. There's not a thing I think that Jerry does or that the Cowboys do that they're not aware of public reaction to it. All of it. He leaned in yesterday. He goes, Clarence, I'll say this for you, all in. He knows exactly what reaction is to everything. And whether you agree with him or not, I'm glad at least he's not going to go, you guys were right, I just screwed this up. Like, he's at least going to defend the decision. Right or wrong, doesn't make him right. I want him to defend what he did. I want him to at least have a backing for, well, this is why I did it. And I want him to say it with his chest. Yesterday, he did say it with his chest. He pissed off a lot of people in the process. But to me, I thought that it was just, I came away from it more thinking you saw conflict from Jerry in terms of how he got to this point. He was very open about being conflicted about the decision, I think. He was not conflicted about wanting to bring Brian Schottenheimer back. Everything he said was, I wanted him here next year. The decision to actually make him the head coach was the conflict. But the other thing I came away with, and I know there's a lot of melting down on Twitter, I saw a lot of what I thought we would see, which is, you know what, maybe Schottenheimer won't be so bad. Maybe he's kind of good. I can see it, because that's what's naturally going to happen. He got this job for being charismatic and a really effective communicator and being able to sell the ideas.
All right, let's start from the beginning and let's have some fun with this. This is Tad Carper, who, by the way, announced that he was cancer-free. So that is absolutely fantastic. If you're not aware of the Dak Prescott connection to that, go ahead and look it up. It'll put you in your feels to start off a Tolo Tuesday. This is Tad. I felt like he was trying to control. At first, we were having a debate yesterday in Crosstalk. What are they going to get into? How many negatives? Is this just going to be flowers given to Schottenheimer? Mm. And I felt like this was an early attempt by Tad to control the press conference. It did not go as well as maybe they thought.
Our new Dallas Cowboys head coach, Brian Schottenheimer. And Chief Operating Officer, Executive Vice President of Player Personnel, and co-owner, Stephen Jones.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll clap for you.
First awkward moment. Now, the part in that we didn't include, we should have included, was the intro for Jerry. Jerry did not get applause first, then Schottenheimer applause, and then painfully awkward with Steven.
I think it, so here's the thing. At these press conferences, they will, a lot of times it doesn't go to air, but they will introduce everybody before they start. Just, here's Jerry, here's whoever. I think they did it with McCarthy. When they introduce them, there's never applause. It's like just a setting of here we are. And so once there was applause for Schottenheimer, I think once it got to Steve, people were like, are we, and so that's why it was weird.
Yeah, the media got caught. You're not supposed to, I'll be old school media curmudgeon guy here, journalism ethics. You're not supposed to, it's not the media's job to applaud.
More than half of the people the group were not media.
Yeah, they have supporters. There's
family, there's employees of the Cowboys. Yeah. And so those are the people who were clapping.
It's like cheering in the press box, though. You know, like, and you've seen in other press conferences, like the media can give an applause to the new coach. It's a welcome. But nothing for Jerry. Other people in the room cheering for Shoddy. And then Steven, it's like, what do we do? They got caught. They got caught, and Steven, unfortunately, was the recipient. And then the opening answer that everyone started going off about.
Still going.
Eric Chiafalo couldn't even time this thing. Calvin Watkins. Where was David Moore, by the way? David Moore didn't get the first question.
I did not see. I think David Moore may have already been in Mobile or something like that, but I didn't see David there yesterday.
Calvin Watkins, start us off.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. This is for Jerry and Steven. Why did you pick Brian Schottenheimer? What was it about him that you guys felt like he was the right fit for you guys?
Bobby actually got out the stopwatch.
Yeah, 8 seconds, followed by 11 minutes and 16 seconds.
Yeah, I got into the sauna when this thing started. I usually do 15 minutes in the sauna, and I almost went the entire time with just this answer.
And this was that 8 seconds of silence was, as soon as he started talking, I got the feeling of like, okay, that was intentionally dramatic. Just because he was like, you know, building up something.
That was Landman. That was Landman Act Two. That's what that was.
It absolutely was. But I did come away with the impression, like when you listen to that whole explanation and the way that he's talking about it, I don't know when he started talking if he knew exactly what he wanted to say. I think he had an idea of where he wanted to end up, but I think he went down so many different paths.
Weave the weave.
Because I think, in the end, he's, and I don't think he'd push back against this. I think he was conflicted in hiring him. Like I said, I think there was some sort of hang up for him. I think he had to be sold. I think Steven was on board. I think there were players on board. I think Jerry was the one who had to be sold on, hey, we want to bring him back. He's like, great, would love to bring him back. Jerry talked about sitting in Monday meetings and cocking his head up and going like, ooh, the stuff that guy just said, I like it. He clearly likes him. I don't think he had considered head coach until it started getting put in front of him. And then he had to go, oh, I got to think about this, guys. And so I think he's the one who had to be convinced that this is the direction that would go. I think he ended up there, but I think he definitely had to be convinced. And that 11 minutes and 16 seconds, you kind of
talked yourself into it.
No, you just, I think you heard that process or that conflict that existed for him.
I still don't know what the point of missing the Senior Bowl practice or the combine.
35 years.
I've missed one day of the combine, one day of the Senior Bowl, and I still don't know what the final point was. I thought he was going to say, and it was to meet with Brian Schottenheimer, and it was to have this discussion. I don't know.
I assume it was I wanted to get this done now, or I wanted to be sure about this process. I was willing to thoroughly.
So he's talking about missing this Senior Bowl day?
Yeah, because he missed
this
it.
One.
Yesterday was Senior Bowl day, and he missed it. And he's always out there for every single day.
Okay.
And so I'm guessing that what he was trying to say was something to the effect of, I was willing to drag this out to this point and then lock it in, knowing it was going to collide with this.
I really love Mobile. They had a wonderful catfish restaurant down there, and I missed it.
877-881.
That was Mosley.
I know, I did kind of throw some Mosley in there.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line to hit us up on DFW Sports Station. So you got your usual insults thrown at Jerry and Steven, but did you change your mind at all about the new guy? Let's hear from Mike McCarthy's replacement himself what Brian Schottenheimer had to say on the Home of the Cowboys next. All right, let's meet the main man himself. I think we would expect to have Coach Schottenheimer on every single week during the football season. We had Jay Jeezy on Mondays, Mike McCarthy on Fridays, and hopefully we'll get to sit down with him in Oxnard as well here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby.
Does that need to be our top priority at night in Indianapolis? Is we got to find Brian Schottenheimer out in a social setting and just break the ice early.
Yep.
That needs to be a top line item, I think.
I don't think we have to break the ice with this guy, man. He seems cool as hell, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, he seems very likable. I mean, you could totally see why he would crush an interview.
Yeah, this should be, and I'm a sucker for interviews. RJ has pointed out accurately, so how, you know, that 15 minutes, that hour can trick you and be deceiving. But he started off saying, look, we're criers, us Schottenheimers. We are criers with emotions.
Which was met with two different reactions from Cowboys fans. Either, man, this dude's so real, I love this. And then there were others who were like, oh, great, Detroit gets kneecaps, we get crying.
Where's the discipline? But that type of stuff, and you just said it, you could absolutely tell how he emotionally hits the right buttons with the Joneses. Jerry and Steven, in my opinion, they remind me of my dad in a lot of ways. Like, very, very emotional and soft people. Like, you can get the joke with Ben Rogers when he was here was whenever they would get Jerry on their show, Ben was trying to be like Roy Firestone, and he could get Jerry to cry on demand. A very soft touch and talking about his dad. How many references did we get to Brian's mom yesterday? Jerry loved talking about that and the emotion of it and the family aspect. All those things just nail, check with Jerry and Steven, in my opinion. What is Brian Schottenheimer looking for? World-class competitors, relentless work ethic, people who value relationships. And then this X's and O's thing, I felt like was the most overblown thing from media members and fans. Oh my God, it's not X's and O's? Guys, how many times have you heard people say it's not the X's and the O's, it's the Jimmys and the Joes? He's not throwing out X's and O's. He's just talking about the importance of people and character. But man, social media lost their minds with this.
Yeah, what he was saying was... This is not the top line item of what's broken here. It's something that'll need to come with it, but that's not the top line item. And then the other thing he was saying behind that, I think, was if this gets right, everything else will be fine. We will be on task with everything else as long as everything culture-wise is set.
And he was asked, what do you think you can make different from the McCarthy era that we just saw?
Mike's one of my best friends. And when you talk about what Mike and this football team has done over the last 5 years, it's been some incredible success. One of my greatest strengths is my ability to create relationships that are built on trust, respect, connection. I'm really good with X's and O's, but I'm great with people. The type of men that we have in this locker room are excited about that. And so I think as we build this thing out, as the culture comes together of this team, that's where I feel like my greatest impact will be felt. With the relationships, the ability to communicate. I've always been someone that was very good at having open dialogue, hard conversations, and I've always tried to paint very clear, bright lines. And that's what I plan to do as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
I thought it was a great line. I'm very good with X's and O's, but I'm great with people. And as he was talking about the relationship building, Dak was in the back going, yeah. Like, yeah, like doing his little silent cheer. Well, not really silent because reporters heard him there in the back. Why is he ready now? He said it was a rough 19 years because he thought he threw away his chance. You know, Adam Schefter the other day when talking about Schottenheimer is like, this is a lesson that if the job comes around, you may want to take it. And he had written down on his index card, like, Emmett Smith, I want to be the youngest head coach in the National Football League. Passed up some opportunities. Did he say he passed up six opportunities? Did you say that?
So I didn't hear six. I do know that when we had talked about, you remember I said a couple weeks ago, I was like, he turned down jobs, I remember, and we were trying to remember what they were. I went and looked it up. It was, he turned down the Dolphins job, and he turned down the Bills job at two different points. And that was to stay with the Jets both different times.
Why is he ready now? He said the things that used to make him pause, he has more answers for. And then he kept talking about Pete Carroll challenging him to be authentic. And it was Pete, I didn't love hearing this, that Pete Carroll was saying, go study the new offenses. Because Pete's thought of as a dinosaur. Go look at Shanahan. Go look at McVay. Go look at the new trends. And he said, yeah, Pete told me, go look at them. Don't totally copy them. Make them ours. But again, Seattle's thought of as old school with their offense.
Yeah, and I mean, that may just be more. He said, he had the line yesterday that he was asked about, you know, what is it that you've, what are the things that you believe in, or what have you found that you believe in? And he said that over time, he's found more the things he doesn't believe in. Like study has shown him the things that he doesn't think works. And so I think it's like when Pete says something like that, I think it's just, hey, you need to know what's out there and be certain that you're doing the right things here. Even if it's just to find out that you don't want to do it. But I think he did end up liking some of those concepts. A lot of the stuff that he talked about yesterday was some of the newer trends. I think that's an area where he and McCarthy kind of butted heads at the end, was wanting to accept some of this new stuff, whereas McCarthy didn't.
I think that this was my favorite part of the press conference. I think it was a favorite part of the Tolos listening, because you got into some meaty X's and O's when he was asked. He is going to be calling the plays. And Jerry came out and said, we wanted him to call the plays. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, the idea was, and something Steven had said later, was if Mike McCarthy would have been back, Brian Schottenheimer would have left. Because McCarthy would have been back calling plays and Schottenheimer would have left. And so that was part of the decision that was facing them.
And Jane Slater nailed that. I didn't believe it. I still went in, like RJ, talking about Brian overall. I'm not going to believe it till I actually see it or hear it.
He's calling the plays you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, you were talking about him just that he was named head coach, period. But I was not going to believe that he was calling the plays. I'm like, there's no way they're going to go into this with that type of setup. They are. And here's Shoddy's way of modernizing things.
Yeah, again, I go back to my days with Pete. I think if you go back and you look at some of the things we did in Seattle, obviously the starting point for me would be things that our players do well. You're always going to start with that. If your system's not flexible enough to do what your players do well, then you're probably in the wrong business. But I'm a big believer in cut splits. I'm a big believer in shifts and motions to distort things. We're going to do a great job of marrying our runs and our passes and make those look the same. I'm proud to say that two different times in my career as a coordinator, we led the league in rushing. And they go hand in hand. The running game and the action passing game go hand in hand. But I would say there's a tempo element that we're excited to mix in, that our players have all shown an affinity for. And let me expand on that a little bit. Why do players like tempo? Well, they like tempo because it allows them to play free. You guys have heard some of the play calls. Dak could rattle off four or five of them right now. They're pretty long. So when you go fast and you're playing on the ball, these guys, it's a little bit more like pickup basketball, you know. And those would probably be the biggest things that I would say from an offensive standpoint.
I thought that was the best answer of the entire thing. A lot of mention about tempo. What are cut splits?
Condensed formations. So tightening the formation, which McCarthy ran the widest spread formations in the league for much of the year last year. So cut splits are receivers closer to the line of scrimmage.
And then, Chop, we got into play action, we got into tempo, all these different things.
Big fan of the play action. You know, it's the new doing it from the shotgun is a little bit more, I guess, difficult. Not difficult, but it's kind of a deviation from the norm. I still think the best play action is when you're under center. But the Cowboys do... They do. I guess they would do more under center, at least historically, with Dak than a lot of the rest of the league has gone through.
I didn't. I don't remember what their numbers were last year in terms of being under center with frequency.
Well, you did a lot of great breakdown though of the tempo, the play action, and the differences from Mike.
Yeah. So when they talked about, and there was a lot of it yesterday, they were dropping hints all throughout of just like, hey, just so y'all know, Mike and Brian didn't see things the same way. It was not said that directly most of the time, but when Jerry's
which is
talking
fine, about, which is like, I don't want my coordinator and my head coach to necessarily see things the same. I want different opinions on there.
Sure, but I think you need to have an overall agreement on where the offense needs to be going, though. And I think that if you want to have ideas and challenges, but I mean, that's the thing, though. I think they were complete. I think they'd become, their core beliefs were completely different. And
you just don't want it to conflict.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So he mentions there he wants to run cut splits. He wants tighter condensed formations. That's very popular with Rams, 49ers. That's the McVay-Shanahan style. McCarthy ran the widest formations in the league last year for much of the season. I think they finished third. He mentions he wants to use motion and shifts to distort what things are going. We sat in Oxnard with Mike McCarthy while he told us about why he likes static looks in what they're doing. And the Cowboys were 17th in motion last year, 23rd in snap motion, 15th in shift percentage. Schottenheimer's last year calling plays in Seattle, the Seahawks were 7th in motion percentage, 10th in snap motion, and 3rd in shift percentage. He mentions the running game, how critical that is to what he wants to do. In McCarthy's 21 years as a play caller, the highest his team's ever finished in rushing was 7th. They finished in the top 10 twice. Schottenheimer's finished top 5 on 4 different occasions in his 12 years calling plays. He mentions the play action stuff. Cowboys were 27th in play action percentage last year. Schottenheimer's Seattle teams were top 10 in the NFL in play action percentage during the 3 years he was there. And the final 3 weeks he called plays for Jacksonville in 2021, they shot up to the 5th highest rate in the league. And then McCarthy and most notably CD had some conflicting comments in the media this season about tempo, where CD would go, I don't know why we don't go more up tempo. Dak had some
of
that.
So are we talking about no huddle?
Not necessarily no huddle, but just a more deliberate pace. You can huddle up or you can go no huddle, whatever it is. Typically, they've called it their fastball offense or turbo or different things like that. And there were times where McCarthy would get pressed on, why don't you bring more tempo? And I think he wanted a more deliberate, I don't know about methodical, but he wanted a more deliberate approach of, hey, let's stand here, examine things, take a look at it. And Schottenheimer talks a little bit about there the same thing that we heard Peyton Manning talk about in week 2 when the Falcons came back against the Eagles when they went into 2-minute offense where Atlanta hadn't moved the ball all day. And then he was like, this is really effective for veteran players when they're in a new system, especially because it's playing football. It's all the stuff they've done their entire lives of just, hey, guys, do this, do this, do this. We're going. And I think that's why the players like it so much. And Schottenheimer, it sounds like, really wants to lean into some of that stuff.
Deliberate can be good, like if you're defense is thin because you are burning more clock theoretically. You know you're snapping it with a couple of seconds left versus 20 seconds of the play clock, but it also could put your offense at a disadvantage because it gives the defense time to reset.
We have just received a Kellen Moore update. Are we getting the Mahomes rules next season? There's already a chip in the football and some stuff we have to get to from best and worst of the weekend. It's all on the way next on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. We want you to win the Jason Aldean tickets coming up around the corner. Turn it on, leave it on. You get them here from Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Thanks to Tolo Diego and others sending us some coaching news. Adam Schefter with the update. About 25 minutes ago, the Saints completed an in-person interview last night with Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore for their head coach position, fresh off dropping 50 on Washington with 7 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, which is what we said yesterday, more than the Cowboys had all year, more rush touchdowns.
So that's improvement.
That's definitely improvement. Yeah, I guess they flew up to Philadelphia to go meet with him in person. Now it's, you know, I don't know that they can officially hire him until the game is over. So are they really going to wait 2 weeks?
And then I even feel dirty bringing up this guy's name. But Bobby, you said he's 50-50. Tony Pauline saying that the Saints not that impressed with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, it was, what was the exact language? Something like,
not enamored with, that's what they said.
But I mean, it made it sound like just like, oh my gosh, there was some offensive interaction. Because the way it was like, they have not been happy with the interview or something like that. But Tony Pauline, yeah, he is somebody who we've talked about on the show before. He is a Russian roulette of accurate information. There's every now and then it's like, bang, oh, yep, there was. That was right. But a lot of times it's just an empty shot. And so I don't think I was asking around to a couple people the other day. I didn't hear anybody saying that McCarthy was, you know, unimpressive to them or that they had any issues. In fact, there were a lot of people who still sounded like they thought he was in the running.
So I was told that Kellen bombed the Cowboy interview. We know it did not last 3 hours from other people's reportings, but I was told, quote, he bombed the interview. So how does that play in New Orleans or other places? Obviously, he's had his Brian Schottenheimer sit downs over the course of the years, has not led to the big chair. But that's what I was told about Kellen with the Cowboys.
He got interviewed for the Boise State job at the end of 2020, I think it was. Yeah. And a lot of people were like, oh, perfect fit. Young guy from Boise, like, you know, savant, X's and O's genius. And he got in there and he didn't get the job. And a lot of people were surprised. And when we asked about it at the time, it was just trying to figure out, all right, why didn't Boise want him? The feedback he got was they loved the X's and O's. They loved this and that. He walked in there and he didn't like actually have they didn't feel like there was a solid plan for how to build a program. And so I know that was one of the things that NFL or college job, he had been given feedback on, like, hey, if you want one of these, you're going to have to come in with a clear, concise plan of this is what I want it to be.
See, this is one of those things where, like, the interview process and just I don't care for it all the time because, you know, what's the important part of being a head coach? Is it being charismatic and nailing the interview, or is it the meat and potatoes of?
You don't think program structure is meat and potatoes?
Well, look, I mean, it depends
especially
on what you're hiring
college.
For. College, yes. But it depends on what you're hiring him for. Like, were you hiring Liam Cohen for his personality or his playbook? You know what I mean? Like,
I think you can steal playbooks. Like I think a lot of the time.
hang on. Replay that, Pepe. This is Liam Cohen. I've moved from Mike McDaniels to Liam Cohen as the coach I'm most interested in to follow now in the NFL.
Duval.
And his eyes while doing it, he turned his head, he got the psycho eyes.
So bad.
I saw somebody yesterday say, I genuinely thought this was one of these like AI press conferences. Like somebody was just doing it, like, look at this awkward interview. Yeah. It's like, oh no, he really did that.
And guys, I appreciate you sending all the Jerry Jones press conference AI stuff. We can't play it. Only G-Bag. Is silly enough to play that stuff. I'm not going to retweet it. I'm not going to comment on it. There's a lot of funny things in there. It's a little too personal to play on the radio. I appreciate you sending it, but not going there.
It's funny, yeah, but we're
I'm an idiot.
No, it was funny. When the Liam Cohen stuff was out there yesterday, somebody like quote tweeted to him, and they're like, this is why this guy has had 7 jobs in 7 years. Like this is just awkward.
Has it been 7 and 7?
7 jobs in 7 years.
Wow. By the way, Tom Pelissero, the Cowboys are expected to hire Nick Sorensen as their special teams coordinator. Spent last year as the 49ers DC, but he has special teams experience most recently with Jacksonville in 2021. The intel that Brian Broaddus got on the special teams hire, quote, "He's a good coach and a good dude. Really enjoyed working with him. Smart, thoughtful people and players in the building will really like him, and he will connect with them." Nick Sorensen, special teams.
Yeah, and all of his special teams experience has come with Brian Schottenheimer on staff. Jacksonville 2021 was with Brian Schottenheimer. There was some stuff with the Seahawks, like you just mentioned there, where he did different special teams things. So
looks like a younger dude. Great 5 o'clock shadow. Look at this. He's got that
good shadow.
He's got that silver fox, that young silver fox look. It looks like he looks like he rode in on a motorcycle.
Straw jawline, cheekbones, just chiseled. You know,
the Sons of Anarchy look.
Yeah, well, I don't know that reference. I know the show, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, just
about.
Like motorcycle.
I didn't.
Gruff biker.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I had never seen Sons of Anarchy.
Ah.
And then did someone else just tweet something that they're staying here or coming here?
Yeah, Cowboys assistant offensive line coach Ramon Chinyoung is staying around. And he's a guy who a lot of the players really like. And it's becoming clear, I think, here. Schottenheimer yesterday talking all about culture, hitting that aspect of it. Sorensen is a player's coach, relationship builder, culture guy. That's Chinyoung. You get in the sense that Lunda Wells is going to be back. That's Lunda Wells, same sort of thing. I think he's looking to the entire staff is going to be, all right, we want personalities that are going to help us build this.
All right, yesterday we were all football, so we did not get into any best and worst of the weekend, but RJ Choppy, I definitely wanted to get to yours. Best and worst of what you just did and what you're going through here.
Oh, yeah. I got best, worst, worstest. Got them all?
Oh, yeah. Three categories.
You know, the best, obviously, you know, we had talked the previous week about, you know, Julian was, he's in this new basketball league. And, you know, I didn't show up to watch him pass. You know, he's enamored with assists. I'm like, oh, look, assists are great. Cool. You know, take a shot every now and then. You're open, pop it. And he did. He came to play. Popped the J a couple of times, drove the hoop, scored like 8 or 10 points, something like that.
All right, what's the average and what did he score?
Yeah, I think he had like 8 or 10, a couple of threes. You know, they only score like 30 points in these games, so you're scoring like a third of your team's points. That's a good game.
How many shots did he put up to get those 8 or 10? Was this Gilbert Arenas volume?
No, he was 2 for 3 from three.
Gilbert puts up different shots.
He missed a lot of layups. A lot of underneath stuff, but.
Did they win?
Oh yeah, they killed him.
Okay.
Yeah, they won. They won pretty good. We got a big game coming up. We're playing Columbo's kids team. We're gonna get worked.
Is he coaching?
No, he sits in the he's just an animal.
He's
in the stands.
Tom Thibodeau of youth basketball.
Yeah, he's sitting in the stands like an animal.
He's investigating murders.
Is that
for a different Columbo?
It's a different Columbo. Oh, okay, absolutely.
His girl's like some stud athlete.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Swimming.
Yeah. But you know, this is a problem that I think is more of an issue. Not a problem, but it's more like an issue that we have to deal with now.
This is tremendous as a topic. This old days when you could have these conversations, this would be a man card violation.
It would be. But you know, so last year he wore the Giannis's, right? The Giannis shoes. The year before, my older one Luca had the Aunt Pearls. They're the pink. It's Kevin Durant shoes. They're called the Aunt Pearl. They all wore the pink shoes. Well, this year he's got the Sabrina 2s.
You like that?
Oh, just for you, Bobby.
Sabrina, I ask you?
Yeah. Now, in our day, this was grounds for being made fun of until you developed like some kind of an issue that needed therapy. In today's world, it is...
Okay, now you got to start from the phone call or how you found out he wanted them and who got them for him.
He didn't tell me. Jana got them for him. And he comes over. I was like, oh, man.
Are these them?
They're black with like the gold swoosh.
Okay, so these.
And sequins.
Kind of like those, yeah. They're kind of like those. It's all black, though. There's no silver, right? So it's just black with like a little gold swoosh.
Do they let you play with open toe shoes?
All right,
basketball.
I want to hear this. Shut up.
So, like, you know, he just brings them over. I was like, oh man, what are these new shoes? What happened to the Giannis's? He goes, I outgrew them. And I go, which ones are these? And he goes, the Sabrina 2s. And I said, the who? And he said, the Sabrina 2s. And I said, like the WNBA player? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, that's a thing. He goes, they're all shoes now on the website are unisex. They're all unisex shoes. And I'm like, man, I'm thinking to myself, my goal is to raise toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I want. I want to raise toxic masculinity. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I don't want to go to the Andrew Tate level. Okay? I don't want to go that far.
You don't want to get tied up in trafficking,
right,
and stuff.
I don't want to go that far. But like, you know, somewhere in the meaty part of the toxic curve. Somewhere in there. That's what I'm looking for. I draw the line at Birkenstocks. That's my line, Birkenstocks. But look, they're sharp-looking shoes, and he's not the only one that's wearing them. You know, other kids have them on. Okay. You know, the thing is also is...
looking at them, do they look like they're just normal, regular?
Yeah, they look. You couldn't tell. You know, a lot of
does
kids...
Has he ever watched her play?
I don't know.
Does he know who she plays for?
I have no idea.
Who she played for?
I don't know. He is a... he's a basketball junkie.
She went super viral a couple years ago. She made like every single three-pointer in a three-point contest. She missed like two shots or something. So.
Yeah, so she, you know, she's like, you know, he's a basketball junkie, so I'm sure he knows who she is. But, you know, like the other thing is the kids are wearing now is like they'll have two different color shoes. Now, they're a set. Like they come like that, but one's white, one's red. Or one's, you know what I mean? One's black, one's white. You know, it's kind of cool, but that's... Well, that's something in our day you never would have been able to get away with that.
Hell no. I want to know what the behind-the-scenes conversation was really like. Did you hide them? Did you
laces? I did not. He needed something to wear. Yeah. I definitely didn't hide him. I definitely didn't hide him.
All right. Is that a boycott violation from one young Julian Choppy? Here, you know, he's progressing. He's advancing.
He's
society
advancing.
For us.
He is advancing society.
Did you know a bunch of girls have probably had to wear all boy shoes while playing basketball?
I assume they did. There probably wasn't a whole big market back in, you know, the 90s.
He's right on track to be the starting quarterback for the Bears in a couple of years.
Well, guys, it's not that
Spittle is listening.
It's not that abnormal based on the fan text 817. A lot of NBA pros are wearing these shoes. 214 NBA players are wearing the Sabrina 2s all the time. And then you have from the 817, I feel you, Choppy. I had the same conversation and problem with my kids that he's a sophomore. No way I'm buying him a WNBA pair of shoes.
There it is. Lay down the law. Does Stephen Jones not know what air quotes are or mean? Next, the most angry moment from the Cowboys press conference, we'll talk about it right here on The Fan.